I'm like, you know, I like to keep an eye out on every patron to make sure that I'm not encroaching on their personal space.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
mm-hmm.
I will have one eye allocated to each person.
And that's not disconcerting.
So that swivel around.
Everyone in the room. Yeah, that's horrifying.
And then I make myself as tall and thin as possible. Not as a threat display, but, like, you know, to keep up, take up less room.
All right. Oh, you're trying to make yourself, like, tall and slender, then. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm not, like, a slender being.
So you, the guy sort of turns back towards you, and he's got a, like, a wrapped paper package that's, like, slightly greasy on the bottom, like, balanced across his two sword arms, and he slides it onto the table in front of you. Or slides onto the counter towards you. And like, you know, this is the thing that you always get. He knows what it is. He doesn't have to talk to you anymore and doesn't want to, actually, anymore.
That's right.
So you grab your food and you walk around the underground eating? Taking in the sights, or do you have somewhere you go with your food?
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, I think Gug is the sort of interdimensional being that needs to, like, eat while they... needs to walk while they eat.
Okay.
Because, like, Gug is a comes from a aquatic planet where they're, like, a predator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and I don't know a whole lot of sharks that are, like, you know, takes their food back to their cave or whatever.
Okay, sure.
Ignore the fact that none of those words together made sense. Please. Yeah. Sharks don't have caves. So, like, I'll walk around and eat, and, like...
Alright. Yeah, so you're taking a... I was gonna say a foot tour of the underworld, but you don't have feet, so you are taking a tentacle tour of the underworld, and
plap, 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 plap.
Walking a path that you're fairly used to, and it's... It's a path that sort of takes you around a part of the underworld that has an unusual amount of natural light to it, partially because there's not anything directly above it, but also partially because, the buildings above are situated in such a way that there's, good sunlight light reflection that comes down, which has been a problem previously, because those things can focus sunlight pretty well, but, mostly, it's a fairly pleasant walk through areas that people have started, or have taken an effort to reclaim. There's, like, gardens along this area, and, habitations. There's not a ton of, like, it's not just debris and crime. It's a fairly pleasant place for being, you know, the very bottom rung of this society in an almost literal sense.
Yeah, it's literally better than, like, anywhere else I've been, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yes. This is still nicer than anywhere except maybe the, like, nicest part of Ironheart.
Yeah, it's not overrun by vampires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
No one's actively trying to kill me, which, like, I'm gonna call that a good day.
So you, in your wanderings, you come across, You're in an area now where you're used to being alone. You've moved sort of out of the makeshift residential districts. You've gone back under an overpass, essentially, on the transit network above. And it's shady here. It feels fairly comfortable to you. But for some reason, it just doesn't feel that comfortable. It doesn't seem to feel that comfortable to, like, any of the other residents. And you're not used to seeing people in this area. And that's reflected by the fact that, like, there's just debris everywhere. The wreckages of old cars were probably some, like, old human combat mecha or something over in the corner. There's a few, like, demon skulls back here. It's wild, right? But it's nice and secluded. And you can eat your... you can sort of walk a quick lap or two around this area and eat your unspecified monkey parts in peace, right?
Well, by design, the joke is the monkey's paws, whatever he's able to give me, right?
Like, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But today, you're not alone. There are about a half dozen humanoid people here in some kind of, like, brown robes with hoods that cover their faces.
Okay.
And they are... they are picking at what appears to be some kind of machinery that you don't immediately recognize and are pretty sure wasn't here last time you came through.
Okay. Like, as a psychic, Squid to Pod, do I sense any, like, nefarious, like, are they here doing the bad stuff?
Are they here doing the bad stuff? That's a really good question. How do we want to determine if you can tell that, Gug?
Well, like, do they have any food? Like, do they have any obvious food?
Nothing significant. Like, one of them might be, like, snacking on... Like, one or two of them might be snacking on something, but...
Okay. Because, like, I don't want to interrupt their meal, because that's just rude, right? Like...
Well, it's not. It doesn't really look like it's a meal. It looks more like, you know, not quite what you're doing, but like they're busy, but their weak, assumedly mammalian systems can't go days without eating the way yours can. So, they are nourishing to keep up their energy while they work.
Okay, yeah. So like, do I need to see what they're doing? Like, yeah, I'll just, like, go hang up with them. Like, say, like, hey, what's going on? Like, I'll go act like I belong there and, like, you know, kind of, like, walk up next to them and take a look at what they're doing.
Okay.
Not, like, stealthily. Just, like, you know.
Okay. As you walk up, none of them reacts immediately aggressively to you, but they definitely take notice of you coming up. And one or two of them sort of form a little bit of a perimeter around what they're working on. And one holds out a hand, which has, you know, the full four fingers and a thumb on it, and says, in a language you understand, it's in American, but it's a heavily accented American in a way you don't immediately recognize. It says, we don't need trouble. You should go. This is not a safe place. Accidents happen here.
Well, I help people. That's all right. Like, I am a champion of the people. How can I help?
Oh, we do not need champion. We...
Well, you just said it wasn't safe, so how can I help?
Oh, we are taking precautions. See? And the spokesperson will sort of throw a thumb over their shoulder and gesture with their head. And there's a, you see now that two of them are sort of, two of these figures are emerging from behind a particularly sizable piece of new machinery. New in the sense that it's not here normally. It looks pretty weathered. And each of them is holding what appears to be some sort of rifle weapon. Not threatening with it, but definitely holding it. In a way that you can see it and them.
Okay. Well, is this thing dangerous? Is that why you've got weapons? Like, are you worried that it's going to wake up and try to attack you?
No. We are not worried about that. You should be on your way, though. It's not safe for you here. You can try to give me some sort of roll to see if you recognize what it is.
Yeah.
I think Gug may not have a ton of direct experience with what's going on here, but has seen some shit over the last few months, so...
Yeah, like, if this is the sort of thing where they're, like, thieves trying to sell fence-stolen goods, like, okay. That might be something I'd be more familiar with. You know, I am, despite... Gug is book smart, like, mm-hmm. Gug is an intelligent DB... even if they perhaps Johnny Cage it up a little bit. I guess I can just roll smarts and see what happens. Or common knowledge.
Yeah, give me common knowledge. Common knowledge is probably fine.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. Yeah, no, it's machinery. It's like, you know, humanoids get up to shit. It's weird. They don't have, and the machinery doesn't have, like, the nice organic lines that Vernulian tech does. It's all, like, chunky and,
because I don't know what this is. I want to know what it means to this person, and they're not going to tell me. So I'm going to go ahead and tap their mind with,
okay. Sweet. Bring it.
What's the word this is? I mean, I don't really have a psychic power that does what I want it to do.
Because
Mind Link is...
Yeah, Mind Link is...
not, yeah.
Yeah. Tell you what, give me a... is perception a thing here? Awareness?
I got a lot of psionics.
Yeah, I know.
Notice is the closest thing that I have.
Yeah, give me a notice check. Give me a notice roll. I feel like, okay. Like, you could probably feel a little bit coming out of these, because they're not, like, nothing in terms of psionics, so, yeah, you get, these people are not trying to, your immediate response is, these people are not trying to sell you anything, they're trying to get rid of you, and your feeling is, their desire to get rid of you is pretty urgent, actually.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know if that makes me want to leave, I guess, is the right, like...
That's fair. While you're having this sort of, like, conversation, you hear what sounds like a radio beep from behind one of the pieces of machinery, and one of the people with the rifles sort of takes a step back behind the stuff they emerged from and picks up what looks like a radio. And speaks into it in tones you can't quite hear, but you are a predator of hominids, and you can immediately tell when one of them is stressed out in a way that might mean danger, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Like, this looks like a monkey that just rumbled your intent to eat them, but is not looking at you specifically, right?
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not looking to eat these people.
Yes.
Okay.
I understand that. Yes.
Okay. I just, like, if I say it out loud to you, then everyone hears it.
Oh, okay. Yes. There you go. Yes. We're putting that out into the universe. It's not my intention to eat any of these people.
Yeah.
Alright. So, the person that just got off the radio, yells what seems like a name at the person you've been talking to. And that person, still holding their hand out, like, in front of you to try to stop you from coming forward, turns, looks over their shoulder, and then the two of them exchange elevated tones of a language that you don't immediately recognize. And then the person you've been having a conversation with makes eye contact with you, at least two of your eyes. It's hard to do more than that.
Well, I mean, I understand what they mean, yeah. They look at me in the eye, which is a sign of great intestinal strength.
And takes, like, a couple of steps directly backward from you while reaching under their robe and looks at you, and again, with your, like, psychic, you can't, like, read their minds, but you can catch some degree of, like, impression. And your impression immediately is, this guy's not trying to hurt you, but he says to you, you should go, you're in danger.
Okay. I want to help these people, but I don't really think they want me to help them, or, like, you know.
That seems to be the vibe.
Yeah. I've offered 3 times, and if anything, my time with Tink has taught me that, you know, if you offer a couple times and they say no, then they mean no. So I'm going to, of course, go hide and keep an eye on what's going on.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Tink, let's cut to Tink. Whereabouts in this society would Tink find himself?
Mm-hmm.
Because You're still all sort of linked together through your interactions with the Resistance. You're still all assets of some sort. But Tink is easily the wildest card of the group, and that's saying something when Gug's in play. So, where is Tink?
Oh, I'm trying to figure out. I think Tink is trying to do something for Dragon's Blood. I'm trying to figure out what is the most hilarious source for Dragon's Blood.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because
most hilarious source for Dragon's
Blood. I mean, yeah, like.
Okay. Well, okay, so immediately, for some reason, as soon as you said something about Dragon's Blood, or as soon as you said something, Tink's doing something for Dragon's Blood.
Yeah.
For some reason, and you can totally say, no, this is a horrible idea. The first thing that popped into my mind is the scene in, I think, Rambo 3 and Hot Shots Part 2, where... The opening of the film is them, like, in a fighting tournament at the very beginning. And I'm, like, Tink is in there, and he's fighting for these... He's in the fight, and the purse and or his payment is Dragon's Blood somehow.
Okay. Were you done? Did we lose Zach? Did we lose me?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Still here. Yeah, hello? You're still good.
Yep. I have nobody.
Oh no, Jonathan.
Oh no, Jonathan drops. Jonathan.
This is bad. Okay.
Oh no, I spelled his name wrong. Shit. Okay. Yeah, because we can hear him. Unfortunate.
Alright, that was...
Hey, you back?
You're reconnecting now, yeah.
Yeah, that was very weird, because, like, it stayed connected, it just had my ping at, like, 5 seconds.
Oh. It goes for everyone, because okay. I was at 2.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Weird.
Okay. So yeah, you basically got to the point where it was like Tink is there, and then
yeah. So I think like
doing
the thing that immediately jumped through my head was there's this underground ish, but not like fully underground, like fighting league, right? But Tink is sponsored specifically somehow. In a way that's getting him Dragon Blood, but he has to, like, keep going and fighting other absolute weirdos.
What I have at this point is just a dragon going around and making me fight people to be annoying.
Yes.
Right? Like, I can't even decide if it's funny if they're doing it for their personal vendetta or they're doing it to annoy Tink.
They're just using you to fix fights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you're just you're like the house champion somewhere, right? Like in this.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually they'll make you take a dive, but
they're still in the build-up phase of that. There.
Yeah, they're still building heat. They're still building heat on this one.
Which is hilarious because I also think that Tink is completely oblivious to the whole thing.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You just like showed up. There was a deal struck, and you're abiding by the terms of the deal. And as long as everybody keeps doing that,
yep,
we're good. So yeah, I imagine there's like, but it's Rifts, so it has to be like the '90s version of that. So it's like it's the UFC octagon, right? There's an octagon. And there's, like, a bunch of wizards sitting around it. And then they're, like lesser wizards up in the cheap seats behind that. And we open on Tink lined up across from, like, just the giantest, like some sort of, like...
Oh! Like, can I pitch something quite simple here?
Uh-huh.
They're actual techno-wizard bouts, which is why all the wizards find it hilarious. And, like, that's why it sinks there. Not because he's fantastically dangerous, but because he can use techno-wizard shit.
Oh, okay. Okay. Alright.
Maybe it's not actually a dragon, but, like, you know what I mean at that point? Is that, like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's amusing to me.
Okay, so they're, like, it's technically wizard battles?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like,
well, like I was thinking tech. Yeah,
but you're just like you're like you're like, okay, it's a nerd fight, but we signed up Tiny Mike Tyson. Is basically what this is. Okay, basically. Awesome, amazing, amazing, and everyone obviously hates you. The entire arena hates you.
That's why he's a heel.
You are the heel of
heels. You gotta work heel for this one, brother.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, you're in this corner, and there's a like dragon mage. So they're like a 9 foot tall lizard person with like big frills on their heads, and he's got like a long robe and a staff with like a blinking eye at the top of it.
Yeah.
And you can see, and he's going through like his pre-fight routine of like humming mantras to himself, and like casually prestidigitating like little illusions and like force balls and things to get himself the arcane equivalent of limbered up, right?
Well, and I can just picture Tank there, and like they're in like Iron Man armor, but like made in a scrapyard with like obnoxious glowing lights on it, and like
yes,
it's not actually doing very much for him.
And I imagine at one point there had to be like there was one fight where Tink accidentally phased partway through it.
Yeah.
And had to, like, put it back on.
Oops, sure.
Not ruin the kayfabe of the moment there. Is Tink, like, warming up? Is he, like... Because they're not going to let you bring your hammer.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though the other guy's got a staff, they're not going to let you bring your hammer.
Well, like, I think he's been given a hammer that's nowhere near that, and like mostly like when it hits, it like makes big sparky things that, like,
I was gonna say, it's a pyro hammer. Hammer that's like literally pyro.
I just was thinking it like a giant toy squeaky hammer.
So I was picturing that, but like, well, it jets out steam.
The question is, how badly does your patron want to embarrass these wizards? Like, because that's the thing, right? This has to be like your sponsor, whether it's a dragon or something else, just has to hate wizards as a concept and a group of people to the level where they're like, nah, we're just gonna go embarrass a bunch of them, right?
Yes.
And in that case, no, like a techno wizard squeaky hammer is amazing.
Yep. That's perfect. I just love the fact that Jake is unintentionally trolling the shit out of a bunch of mages.
Yeah, he has like no understanding of that currently. Like, it's just like,
nope.
No, I show up, there's like, they like wiggle their hands, and then I hammer them into the wall, and then we can do it again. Yeah, so then there's a bunch of like ring announcements going on, and a referee walks out wearing like a black and white striped robe, right? And he says, "All right, come here." And he waves the two competitors to the center of the octagon. I want a clean fight. No illusions. No disintegration. Keep everything above the lower chakra. Now shake appendages. The dragon mage will very disdainfully offer you a clawed hand.
The like metal gauntlet thing that he's wearing incorporates a joy buzzer, basically, but like just one that makes a loud noise.
Okay. The dragon mage startles at this, but recovers their composure very quickly and sort of retreats to neutral corners.
Well, like, I think Tink is just as startled, but it comes off as taunting.
Who the fuck was that?
What?
Are we starting? Okay.
Alright, so, the ref makes a couple of announcements, raises both of his hands above his head, and, magical sparks shoot out, signaling the beginning of the fight. And the crowd goes wild. They're sure this is the guy. This is the guy that's gonna take down. What is Tink's ring name?
Oof. Like, it's gonna be something like Tiny Techno Terror or something like that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Tinkerbell?
I don't think he uses his actual name.
I was just thinking that the dragon might do that to humiliate you. I thought it'd be funny.
Oh, maybe? Actually, it might be Tinker... No, I can actually see it being some kind of Tinkerbell thing, and Tink just doesn't put it together that it's like he thinks they're mispronouncing his name. Like, dumb humans.
And he doesn't understand why the Iron Man suit has like welded on fairy wings.
Yeah, little wings in the back.
Then there's somebody in the crowd just always yells, "Clap your hands and believe."
I gotta imagine, like, the armor's set up for something, like, when people start clapping, it, like, releases healing magic or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Because, of course, if you're a... I mean, come on. If you're a dragon, you're definitely gonna have some people in the crowd planning some shit, right?
100%, yes. Well, I'm sure that is a mainstay of the ultimate magic fight meta, mm-hmm. right, is how subtly but effectively can you cheat from the crowd, right? Like, how much magic can you, like slide under the wards and below notice to help out your competitor, right? Alright, so, the fight starts in earnest. Immediately, the dragon dude throws up, like, this magical shield around himself. And you can see him gathering power inside.
What does Tink want to do? I think Tink throws a rock at him.
Sure.
The rock, like, may be just like grabbing some of the floor and chucking it at him.
I was gonna say, where did you get the rock?
Like, the floor?
Well, the rock's in the audience. Yeah. Sorry.
Ba-doom-ba. He really likes the showmanship, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, you impossibly scoop up a piece of this ring, because the ring is, it's like a UFC ring, right? So it's actually just like,
mm-hmm.
canvas over plywood on top of some springs, but somehow Tink finds a rock out of this.
Clearly he hinged the top surface of the ring at some point. So it's actually a layer of stone.
Clearly. That would be very funny if, like, Tink was somehow... Tink was involved top to bottom in this enterprise. Like, Tink helped... Tink built the ring, built the arena. The trophies are unavailable right now because they're all hinged up backstage.
Artfully arranged.
Uh-huh. All right, so you throw a rock at this guy. What are you hoping to accomplish with your rock?
Mostly to distract him, because I think Tink, like, lifts up the bottom of the mat and just, like, kind of tips him backwards, so he doesn't have to go through the shield.
Okay. Alright. that sounds...
You know, like, rock hits, dust in his face, and then, like, suddenly the ground shifting underneath him.
Alright. That sounds like strength, and I think it's gonna be kind of hard, so you're probably taking a little bit of a penalty here. Let's see what your rule comes to here. Oh, jeez. You're not even here yet.
I know, I just realized, I was like, oh, I actually have to roll dice? What is this? It's like we're playing a game.
It's like we're playing a game, and we want to find out what happens.
Yeah.
As you go to throw the rock at him, you notice, and nobody else in the crowd, well, some might, it's hard not to tell, but he has a single chick, as in baby chicken, in mm-hmm. his hands. in his hand that is, like, mostly under his robe. He's got one hand holding a staff, casting a spell, and there's, like, a baby chick in his hand under his robe.
Ooh. Okay. Don't really know what to do with that information, except I'll feel slightly bad if I hurt a chicken.
Well, so, Tink might know, but,
Is he gonna sacrifice the chicken?
Yeah, there's that whole, like, sacrifice releases magical energy, and young animals are better for it than old animals, and all of that, yes.
Thank you, Zach, for making this decision for me. I will roll strength, and I'm going to roll burn.
Okay, yes, please do.
So, that's a 10.
That's a 10. Alright, so I don't think you can, like... you can defy the literal laws of physics by lifting a thing you're standing on for a 10 total.
Oh, well, I was saying, like, I rip up a chunk of it, and then that gives me an edge to lift up the rest of it.
Okay, because I'll either let you... I'll let you, like, destroy part of the ring, or you can just, like stomp really hard, maybe? Like, shockwave him?
Oh, so, like, alright, so I was picturing, like, when Tink set up the ring, there's, like, maybe an inch worth of stone over the top of the ring.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Sure, so it's like the professional bending league in Korra, where there's, like, just rocks eject up at you so you can get at them. Okay, great. Sure, that definitely happens. So those chunks of rock smash into this guy's shield, and he goes reeling backwards. Not knocked down, but definitely momentarily off balance. In a way that's going to interrupt his ability to cast the spell he was hoping to mess you up with. So what do you do with your opening?
Alright, so we've got like... I think I take the chicken. I don't know what that is. Maybe athletics?
Okay. You trying to grab at the chicken?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you doing here? Like, the guy trying to beat the hell out of Tink right now is not anywhere on Tink's radar, so...
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Alright. With a 9, yeah, you managed to... I don't think you can grab the chicken, because... Here's the thing. The chicken is very small and fragile. Mm-hmm. That's the point, right?
Yeah.
But you can get a hold of this dude's, like, wrist and sort of control that hand.
Okay.
And pull it free of the ropes, right? And he is going to take... And he's going to try to smash you with his staff. Because you're too close, right? He's giving up... He's transferring, like, the leftover energies from his spell into some sort of, like, smash attack on you to try to get you to back up, right?
Ooh.
You rolled a 9. What's your
question? My parry is 8. And he gets a minus to hit me? Because I'm a...
Minus 2 penalty. So I think yeah, you managed to, like, put one of your Tinkerbell Iron Man bracers in front of it, right? Like, catch it on the staff as it comes in, and the energy from the spell dissipates through your armor and into the floor that you've created a ground with the rocks.
Yes!
Which is why you did all that nonsense.
That was totally planned, 100%. All of it.
Yes. 100%. So now you're, like, you're old school, like, hand-to-hand wrestling locked, except one of those hands has a chick in it, and the other hand has a staff in it.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of pictured, like, I got inside the staff there, right? And then I just pictured Tink giving, like, what would look like just a backhand dismissive smack of, like, bad, don't do that, but it's Tink doing it, so it's probably going to be too strong and be bad.
Yeah, give me that. Give me a fight roll. This guy's not real good at actually fighting, which is a theme. There's gonna be a theme with these guys. Give me a fight roll to see how bad you hit.
And then we'll
roll some damage.
Actually, I probably just let the 8. So, well, yeah, great. Because frenzy is both of them, and then one of them is fine. Yeah, okay. 8. We're good with that. I'll stick
with it. Are we applying burn to that as well?
I did not, because of my description, okay. There was not, like, fully engaged.
That's fair.
Right?
That's fair. Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, you hit, and yeah, I imagine, give me, I guess unarmed damage is like...
mine is strength, 2d4. Right? What the shit?
Oh my god.
I get plus 2d4 to my strength, but when you, 11, 3, and 2.
That's a solid hit. That's a solid hit. So that's 16 damage. So this guy, his shield is pretty tough, but he is not. And immediately, this dude just ragdolls towards the specially reinforced octagon fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smashes into it and slumps to the floor.
So, as much as Tink can, he is holding him up by the arm that has the chick in it, because he doesn't want the chick to be hurt, and just kind of like being like, oh, who's a cute little chicken? Yeah, yeah, and ignoring the wizard that's ragdolled at his feet.
So if you did that, you're it's going to be even more grotesque.
I was gonna say, hopefully things stay attached, but I don't really hope that much.
Yeah, you are so strong that you're holding onto that arm, and like you can hear, and a lot of the crowd can hear, because after you sort of dissipated the energy, all of the magic sound from inside that octagon, which is probably pretty loud, right? Was gone. And so all of a sudden, all they hear is like the wet crack of your back fists, right? And then the like pop rip of this guy's shoulder.
I do want to posit just because a low undercurrent of like picture the kind of things they used to put in greeting cards of like a techno theme behind it that the armor gives off when it's powered up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is like almost like a little 8-bit theme or something. It's playing the Mega Man theme.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, Jesus. His arm thoroughly messed up. His hand goes slack, and the chick wiggles free.
Tink's then going to inadvertently pose with the chicken, just kind of like, yeah, you're a good little chicken, yeah. Well, probably everybody fucking hates it, arena.
Okay. There are jeers and boos. Like three white mages are frantically opening the door of the octagon to try to get inside. Their big hats won't all fit through at once. There's like and they're trying to get this guy up off the ground, right? Tending to his wounds. He'll probably be okay. Remember, he's like 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. He's gigantic.
He's a giant lizard, man. Come on.
Yep. And so you are sitting there petting your chick in the middle of this ring. The carnage you've created. Like, there are the upscale equivalent of beer bottles flying at the cage right now. There's one person sitting in the crowd, grinning ear to ear, and everyone else is, like, on their feet, absolutely baying for your blood, right?
Yeah.
But you are, like, staring in rapture at this chick that you've rescued. Mm-hmm. And that's when you feel, on two levels, you feel the entire ring shake, and the crowd shake at the same time, and there's like a ripple of disturb going through the crowd, and then you also feel on like a more primal level, like the scene from A New Hope where like a thousand lives extinguished, mm-hmm. blah 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 blah, right? It's that, but it's sort of like a raw magical energy.
Yeah.
Something nearby just shockwaved a shit ton of magical energy.
Well, that's interesting.
And then we're going to cut there. Hold on to that thought and hold on to that chicken, because I have a feeling they're going to become a minor character.
Exactly.
All right. And last but definitely not least, Perdicion.
That D&D Podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.